I think we're all familiar with the concept of Christmas returns. Someone gives you a sweater or a shirt or some other article of clothing that doesn't quite fit. Or maybe you don't really like the way it looks on you, and so you take it back to the store and return it for something else you can wear more easily. And if you have been in the stores in these days after Christmas, you will find counters littered with returns. And depending on the store, and if you've got the receipt, you have the right to the middle or the end of next month to return and to exchange the ill-fitting, unwanted gifts. A few Christmases ago, I received 3 scarves to add to my not inconsiderable collection. 2 of them had gift receipts whereby you could return them to a well-known retailer and exchange them for something else. To quote from an older version of our reading from Luke's Gospel, I seriously pondered the possibility, but in the end I did nothing and I kept the scarves. Over the Advent season earlier this month, we progressively proclaimed the Christmas gifts of the Incarnation: hope, peace, joy, and love. The Incarnation of God in the flesh proclaims so much more than divine empathy or understanding. The Incarnation claims that in the birth of Jesus Christ, God took on our fleshly feeling, our concerns, our frailty, and even our mortality. That is what he received from us. And what we receive from him are the gifts that he brings from heaven: hope, peace, joy, and love. Today's question is, which of God's Christmas gifts do you want to return because it doesn't really fit you very well? Do you need to return hope because you don't believe anything is going to change for the better in your life or in this world? Do you think that you're on the other side of life's hopeful experiences? As a middle-aged man once told me, I have passed all the really interesting choices in life. Now all that is left are the consequences. What a thought. Or even if you are young, do you find the gift of hope ironically makes you despair? And is that because you've already had too many disappointments from hope, so you would just as well not receive the gift anymore? Or do you need to return peace because you think it's only a word from the angels that we drag out every Christmas, but it doesn't really make sense for the rest of the year? The world hasn't known peace since the night Jesus was born and the promise of peace on earth was made. Maybe your life hasn't known very much of it either. The conflicts exist not only between nations, but also within our relationships and even within our hearts. There is no limit to the opportunities for anxiety with our health, with our children, with our money. None of it allows for much inner peace. We tell ourselves that to mature is to deal with the conflicts and the anxiety. So do you find the gift of peace to be just a sentimental idea from an out-of-touch heavenly father who doesn't realize you have outgrown such illusions? Do you need to return joy? Has an old hurt filled your heart so that there's really no room left for joy? Have you tried to protect that heart by becoming cynical of the very notion of joy? A woman once responded when I asked her if she was going to have a Merry Christmas. in these words, I'm just trying not to disappoint my mother-in-law again this year. Not much openness for joy there. Cynicism comes as a result of lowering your expectations until we no longer have room for joy. Or have you wasted too many years trying to find your joy in places other than the incarnation? The workplace will never give you enough joy. Not even a healthy home or marriage or set of friendships can provide enough joy. The secret to enjoying these relationships is not to try and make them your savior. Or do you need to return love? Do you work so hard for the people who are most important to you that you have somehow crossed a line in order to make yourself necessary to them? If you are devoted to being necessary, then you will not be able to accept the gift of love. An old theological professor once wrote these words, "You are too important to be necessary. You should be loved. But love is always and only a choice. We have no choice about things that are necessary." It wasn't necessary for God to become flesh and dwell among us. The blessing is that he chose to do this out of love. Why would you want to be necessary when you could be loved? Maybe you trust necessity more. If you try to be necessary to the people around you, it will leave you exhausted, irritable, and so lonely. Or is the problem that there are not enough people around you anymore? Has loneliness so shaped your soul that when you try on the Christmas gift of love, you think it best to return because it doesn't really fit? When the shepherds told everyone they met about the angel, the glory of God around them, and the message that a savior was born to them, all were amazed and astonished. It just seemed too good to be true because it didn't really fit with their experience, so they just disappear from the story. History never hears again from those who returned their astonishment over the incarnation. And one of the terrifying aspects of the Christmas story is that if you want to return the Christmas gifts, the Heavenly Father will let you. When the shepherds told Mary about what they had seen and heard, she wasn't astonished. Instead, we're told she treasured their words, pondering them in her heart. She does a lot of this. When the angel Gabriel announced that she would conceive the Savior, Mary was perplexed. And when the shepherds told her about their experience, she pondered their words. 12 years later, when Jesus was told her in the temple that he had to be about his Father's business, Mary treasured his words and she pondered them again. To ponder is to take heart and to brood over words that are confusing. To ponder is not the same thing as returning the gift. It is to keep it in the closet of your heart until you figure out how to wear it. It takes Mary a long time to do this. Maybe this is where you find yourself this Christmas, not wanting to return the gifts, but not knowing exactly what to do with them. That's okay. Pondering is clearly a biblical option. But our text provides another one. The shepherds offer a wonderful approach to the practice of returning after Christmas. They simply return to their life as shepherds, but they take the gifts of Christmas with them. Rather than giving them back or tucking them away, they allow the ordinary to be transformed by all they had seen and heard. If the promises of Christmas are just astonishing, then it is only a holiday from everything that is ordinary. But if the promises are seen and heard, then Christmas is a holy day, and holy days are the days when you get a glimpse of the true essence of something. They are epiphanies, they are revelations in which God appears within your fleshly life. Holy days peel back the veneer of the ordinary experiences to allow you to see the truth beneath them. A student is feeling like the weight of the world on his shoulders as he trudges to the library. There are so many exams and so many papers to complete, and all of them seem to cast a shadow on his future. And when he gets to the library, he opens the door just in time to allow a blind student to walk through. And then he realizes how incredibly blessed he has been. Everything he really needs, he has already been given. These days after Christmas, this last day of the year, these are holy days. Their purpose, like Christmas, is to see what is always true about our lives. In the words of T.S. Eliot, the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and to know the place for the first time. Christmas is a call to wake up and to see and to hear the gifts of hope and peace and joy and love that have been woven into the lives that we already have. And although Christmas is over, we return to caring for our sheep. We return to our lives' routines. Perhaps not yet, perhaps for another few days we enjoy the holidays. But we return and we take into the new year whatever we have been given to glorify and to praise God. And on the way, and the way that you do that is to embrace your life, which is already embraced by the God who became flesh to be with you. And so, on the cusp of this new year, after this Christmas season, we return. We return with the gifts. We may not understand them. Some of them may ring hollow to us because of our lives' experiences at the moment. But we, like Mary, we put them in the closet of our hearts and we ponder them. And one day, by God's grace, we will see how they fit our lives. And we return and we go forward into the experiences of this new year to worship and to praise and to serve God. So we take a moment in the silence to ponder these things. Let us pray. Our God and Father, like Mary, we would indeed ponder the truths of your word, the truths that we have heard from your scriptures. Be with us as we begin to return to the normal routine of life, and as we return, help us to take with us the gifts that you offer us. Help us to take hope. Some of us this past year may have been battered by the experiences of life and hope seems to ring hollow. But help us to take hope for the future. Help us not to return the gift, but to ponder it and to wear it. And help us to take peace. We know that the violence and the unrest in our world perhaps mocks this concept. We know the lack of peace perhaps that we've known in our own lives, in our own relationships, in our own families. But help us to ponder and help us to take this gift into the new year. And help us to take joy. Even if today joy is far from the surface of our lives and there are many things to depress and deplete and to exhaust us, but help us to treasure the joy that you have for us and help us to keep love no matter the disappointments, no matter the battering that our love has taken. Help us to cherish your love and to take it into the new year. So, our Father, we ponder as we approach this new year. We ponder in the silence all that you would speak to us and say to us concerning the year that is ahead. Father, help us to return to our lives, to our routines, to our caring for our sheep, to whatever life is we've been given, and help us to glorify and praise you with your gifts, with your grace, and with your mercy. And all we pray through your Son, Jesus Christ.